Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a celebrated chef discussing his impressive victory during his Tournament of Champions debut. He is a restaurateur, Triple G, and Alex vs. America alum, and Season 5 TOC competitor, it's Kevin Lee. Kevin, welcome to Food Network Obsessed. We are in March, so tis the season for upsets, but did you ever think that you would be the Cinderella story of this year's TOC bracket?
Never. I mean, I've been a backup for TOC several years, and I've been on that set for 2 years in a row and wishing I could just be in that bracket, you know, and for me to be the Cinderella story, I mean, it's a dream come true. It's something I've been thinking about year after year because I've always been around. It's not like, you know, if I've never been there before, it'll be a whole nother story. But I've been teased for year after year, like maybe you'll be in, maybe you'll be not. And for me to actually be there and be the Cinderella story, I mean, this is something I've been manifesting for years, and for it to actually happen, I mean, it's a dream come true. But I finally got to call this year to be the qualifier the 2 days before the competition actually happened. I mean, and the funny thing is, 2 weeks prior to that phone call, my wife and I were sitting in the countertop talking, hey, are you going to be a backup again this year? And I actually had one of my buddies who called out saying, hey, are you coming this year? I was like, and everything was already casted. So I told my wife, I don't think so. I think that the chefs have already been casted. I think, you know, I've already heard it's already going. So I told my wife, I don't think I'm going this year. And it was a bummer. You know, I wanted to be there again. Even if it was a backup. And there you go. Friday, I get the phone call. Hey, can you come on Monday? And I called my wife. Hey, I just got the call. I mean, we were literally just talking about this. And for me to be there and actually get into the main bracket, I mean, it was a dream come true.
I can only imagine. And what the debut you've had so far. I mean, starting with, like you said, those qualifiers, which was a new addition this year, sort of the equivalent, you know, of a play-in tournament when we're talking basketball. But what was that experience like? You mentioned getting the call, but actually getting in to the kitchen and succeeding and playing your way in, I guess, cooking your way into the main tournament.
Yes. Actually, last season, they actually had a Guy's Grocery Game episode where it was actually a play-in tournament for the TOC. Mm-hmm. And Tracy Chappos actually won that episode and got in. But I was actually competing in the episode. So this was my second chance to get in TOC. And for me to get that second chance, it was huge. I honestly thought I was never going to have another chance to get in TOC. I was like, well, there goes my chance. You know, it's never coming back. But then when I got the phone call, I was like, man, it's my my second chance. I cannot let this slip through my hands again. You know, this is my second chance. I know what I got. You know what? I know what I have, what it takes to get in there. I just have to get it out of me. You know, I've had some competition where I was very successful, and I've also had some competition where I didn't perform very well. So there were these things where I've done well and where I didn't really reach my potential, but I knew if I just get focused and get, you know, I knew what I had, what it takes. So it was exciting to get that opportunity again.
You mentioned that you kind of had a chance to familiarize yourself with the kitchen just in your years of being that backup role, but actually getting in there and cooking in those qualifiers. Do you think that helped you in the main competition?
Absolutely. I think this competition about is just really you against you, and the chef who really gets comfortable and really performs to their capability is the one who's going to win. You know, everybody's a great chef. Everybody's there for a reason. And for me to get familiarized in that kitchen and get comfortable, it was huge going into the main bracket.
I'm sure get some of those jitters out as well, especially
Absolutely.
Since you come in as an 8 seed and get matched up against a former champion, a Titan, Brooke Williamson, and you won. Let's talk about this dish because it was a steel cut oat, crusted pork tonkatsu. Sounded absolutely delicious, but can you kind of share more about the inspiration behind this dish and how you came up with it so quickly?
There's actually a great story behind how this dish came about. The night before, a lot of us chefs went out for dinner at Chef Krista Lucky's restaurant, a German restaurant that she has in Santa Rosa. And guess what I have for dinner? Schnitzel. And for that randomizer to come out pork loin and tart, I mean, it was just meant to be. I mean, it was just one of those things just clicked right away in my mind. I was like, well, there's tart. Okay. There's, you know, schnitzel, tonkatsu, and I could just blend the steel oats into the breading, and it just kind of really made sense. So to me, it was just like, all right, this was meant to be. If I can't win with this dish, I mean, I don't have any chance against her. So I really was excited to see what the randomizer gave me for that round.
Well, it definitely gifted you a little bit of a leg up for sure, it sounds like. And then you get to the judging portion and then the revealing of the scores. It was so, so close. What was going through your mind in that moment before you actually saw your name on the board?
You know, when I first heard the judges comment on Chef Brooke's dish, I mean, I didn't think I had a chance because she had a very complimentary comments on all three of the judges, you know, and she is great at what she does. And after I heard the comments, I was like, well, I guess I'm going home. And for me to just come out on top and for the judges to, you know, rate my dish above Chef Brooke's dish, I mean, I never thought it could ever happen. And for it to happen, it really was a dream come true for me.
How quickly did you start, I guess, thinking about the next round? Because obviously this is such, you know, a high that you beat this number one seed, a former champion, but you don't want it to be like just like a fluke, like a one time like flash in the pan. So when did you start like mentally preparing for the next round?
Honestly, you have a pretty big gap in between because you were filming for a long period of time, mm-hmm. right? I had a lot of time in my hands to think about the next round. And it was hard because...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, you get this high of like, oh, I just beat Brooke. And like, all right, what do I do for the next 4 or 5 days? And think about, oh, I got to go get Shirley now, you know? And even if I beat Shirley, who's next? I mean, I look at that bracket. I'm like, all right, I just beat Brooke. Now I got to go get, Shirley or Joe Sasto. Then you got Michael Vitale. Taggio and Antonia, then you got Mei Lin and Jet T. Like, you look at the West bracket and just like,
it's a gauntlet.
It's a gauntlet. I mean, and for me to just, you know, get a several wins on that bracket, I mean, it was something I never thought it could happen, you know, something I never even dreamed about. You know, 5 years ago, four, five, 6 years, that was the first time I've ever even done any TV. And for me to be in that position, I mean, I was just great to be grateful to have that opportunity and take that opportunity and see, you know, see what else I can grow from there. So it was a huge moment in my career that it really gave me the confidence to do bigger things, not just on TV and stuff like that, but with my restaurant and me as a chef, as a professional, it really gave me the confidence to do better.
Yeah. I mean, how do you prepare going into one of these like competition shows? Are you practicing? Are you mentally preparing? Or are you somebody that just likes to go in and, you know, see what happens?
You know, I've tried to prepare for competitions before, just get some reps in and, you know, and try to make these different sauces with these different ingredients I've never worked with. And when the competition actually happens, it never goes the way you think it will go. and sometimes you get stuck with that, the training you want to use what you trained, right? Like you did all this practicing with all these things. Now you're forcing yourself to use these things in the competition when it actually doesn't fit. And every time I've done that, and it actually ended up biting me in the ass. So I actually, when I go in competition, I just go unprepared. Go and just see what happens. I either know how to do it or I don't know how to do it at this point of my career and see what happens. And I think just cooking with confidence is huge in competition, you know, with where you have a time limit and everything and you start second guessing yourself. But I think when you cook with confidence is when you really cook your best.
Well, you seem to be very confident in that arena. Looking back, what have been some of the most memorable moments or lessons that you've learned from your TOC experience so far?
Just really seeing all the chefs and seeing the intensity they cook with each and every round. You know, you know, there's no easy round there, and you're never going to have a walk. You know, you have to bring your A game every round, you know, and when you see Michael Vittaggio and chefs like Jet Tila and May Lin and like the intensity they cook with is unbelievable. I mean, you see Michael, he's hyperventilating as he's going through his round because he forgets to breathe and you start seeing him like, and that's just intensity he works through the round. And that's what really, really opened my eyes when I'm cooking with all these chefs is like, wow, look at all the intensity they're bringing every second of the time they're utilizing. And it's impressive what you can do in that short amount of time.
How does this experience compare to your previous successes on shows like Guy's Grocery Games and Alex versus America?
I think the biggest thing is just being starstruck with all the people you're surrounded with. You're like, oh, you're the guy, and you're looking around and just like you're so starstruck and you don't know how to act and you don't know. But you know what the greatest thing about this whole experience is, they all welcome you like family, you know. Mm. And that was what really, you know, opened my eyes. It's, man, look at all these guys who are just welcoming me in with, you know, open arms. And I'm sure a lot of them know how I feel because a lot of them has gone through that parts of their career too. Not all of them, but some of them. And I think they knew, and they, for them to welcome me in, it was really humbling and grateful. And for them to all just treat me like a friend and family, it was unbelievable experience that I will never forget in my life.
That's so great to hear. I feel like we've heard that over and over again on this podcast, just how welcoming everybody has been, especially in that TOC arena, because like you said, it can be intimidating and it's scary and it's like, you know, something different. And it's like this huge competition. But, you know, speaking of some of those other, I guess, competitions that you've won on Food Network, you know, specifically Triple G, where you brought home the ultimate beef battle to Oklahoma City. How much did, you know, competing and winning on these other shows really prepare you for TOC?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you get thrown into an arena like TOC without any of those experiences, you have zero chance. Because, I mean, it really shows. I mean, you can be the best chef, 3 Michelin star, James Beard award winning chef in the world, and you get thrown in an arena like that with chefs who are professional competition chefs, it's a different world. You know, being in a restaurant and being in that arena are very, very different. Different. And if I didn't have that experience, I would have had zero chance of even you know, being able to compete with those guys. But like really like seeing going through guys' grocery games and Alice versus America, I think the biggest moment really was seeing Chef Alice corner Shelly Cook in her show. And that was really the first time I've competed against somebody who competes at a very high level, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me to see her compete with the intensity that she competed with, it really opened my eyes to like, I've been doing it wrong this whole time, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to work like I'm in a kitchen, like in a restaurant, like being organized and clean and like trying to wipe down and look good. Like, that's not what this is about. You're here to make a dish, bang out a dish in 30 minutes. And you cannot just casually stroll around and cook when, you know, when you're trying to create something, you know, a winning dish in that caliber of competition. And when I saw her, that really, really opened my eyes. Like, okay, now I understand how to cook in competition. And that was really the clicking moment in my competition career. I mean, she was Iron Chef. She has her own competition show. Obviously, she was a number one seed on TOC. I mean, she is one of the best of the best. And for me to go in there and beat her in her kitchen, you know, that really gave me the confidence boost to do more shows and compete more and even in restaurants and become a better chef in general.
Coming up next, Kevin talks about his journey into the culinary world and what inspired him to open Birdie's Fried Chicken in Oklahoma.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
You have been so much fun to watch, and we are looking forward to hopefully seeing your Cinderella run continue. But I want to take it back a little bit and kind of hear more about your journey to get to where you are now. I know that initially you kind of pursued hospitality management in college, and it was during a required class that your passion for cooking ignited. Can you share with us a little bit more about that moment where you kind of realized that you needed to take a different path?
Growing up, you know, I really moved back and forth a lot between living in the United States and Korea. I lived in Korea most of my elementary school years, like from second to fifth grade, and kind of briefly lived in America here and there, like briefly in kindergarten, briefly when I was like four. So it's just like I moved back and forth a lot. So I was never good at school. And the reason I went to UNLV is because that was the only school that accepted me, because they, if you apply, they accept you. And, you know, being a Korean American, you know, you know, parents are all about like being in a prestigious school and, you know, stuff like that. And mm-hmm. guess what? UNLV has a prestigious hospitality management program.
They do.
So they do. And that pleased my mom to be, all right, you're doing okay. So that was really the only reason I went to UNLV, is to really please my mom, to really, even though I was terrible in school, she could tell her friends my son went to a prestigious hospitality school. And that was always the only reason I went there. But when I went in there, I really enjoyed being in that hotel. Like, you know, when you walk around those hotels, it's impressive properties and seemed like a good idea. And at the time, to kind of like study hospitality. But when you're going through that program, you have a required cooking class. It's like cooking 101, and you basically do a very basic cooking class. You learn all the knife skills, you learn a couple of cooking techniques, and at the very end of the semester, you get to come up with your own menu and like kind of like to be a chef, you know. And I thought that was so fun. And growing up, I always enjoyed watching Food Network, watching, you know, Bobby Boy Meets Grill and like Emeril Lagasse and all these chefs. I always enjoyed watching it. But you know, back then, even though I'm not that old, I don't think being a chef was something that you like told your friends, like, hey, I want to be a chef one day. And it just wasn't a thing, you know, even though that you were interested in cooking, you just never really viewed it as a profession, because it just wasn't something that was very popular at the time, you know. But once I got really dived into it, started that cooking class, and I walked into a restaurant looking for just a busboy job. I really wanted a job, you know. Even after that class, it really still wasn't like, oh, I want to be a chef. It was just like, oh, that was really fun. But it just still didn't really click like, oh, I want to be a chef. You know, then I joined the restaurant to be a busser or something. Then the owner just looked at me and was like, you look like you could be a chef. I was like, I'm interested. You know, I think it's fun. So it was just like, I just naturally just like gravitated towards it. And it was a low paying job, and it was long hours, but something about it, I enjoyed it. It was something I just really loved doing, and just never looked back after that. You know, I've been cooking for almost 20 years, and I don't think a lot of, you know, 30, 80 year old person can say I've been doing what I do for 20 years, you know, and I really take pride in that.
No, that's super impressive. Can you talk about maybe some of those moments or experiences in those early days, you know, being in kitchens that kind of propelled you on your journey to where you are now?
I think really my first chef, his name is Jun Choi. He's a chef and owner of a restaurant called Sushi Wall in Henderson, Nevada. And he's the one who said, you look like a chef, and gave me that job. But he really had this charisma of like, when he was working in the kitchen, I was like, that was the first time when I looked at a chef and thought to myself, like, damn, that's really cool. Like, I want to be like him. You know what I mean? Like, just the love he cooked with, and just the intensity he cooked with, and just the intensity, how he was able to orchestrate the team, the kitchen. And just like, it was just something I looked and I was like, damn, that looks really cool. I want to be a chef. And that's when I was like, all right, I kind of went into it, told my mom about it. She was like, just do it as a hobby. And I was like, I was like, well, I'm just going to keep doing it and just not tell you about it. And I just really just never looked back. And there was never really a moment in my career where I was like, man, I really want to do something else. You know, there really never was that moment, even though when things were hard and I wanted to make more money. But honestly, like, I didn't really have another choice. I mean, I was horrible in school. So like, how was I going to find another job that was going to pay well? So I really just kind of was like, you know what, this is really my only thing I have. And if I'm going to do this, I got to get really good at it. So I just kept on going.
I mean, what do you attribute the fact that you became an executive chef at just 21 years old? Was it just that hard work ethic that you started at age 18?
I think so. I mean, even though I was, you know, Japanese cooking is very, you know, detailed, and it's all about cooking with love, you know, and that's what Japanese cooking is about. And I was always very good with my hands, and I was always very good with working with my hands, making things look pretty, making model cars as kid. And like, something about it, when I started cooking, I just got really good at what I did very quickly, just with, 'cause repetition, you know what I mean? I work 6 days a week. lunch and dinner, and just kept on going. And I grew up playing competitive sports. And I think that part of me really has done me well in this industry, because I know like everything you put into it, it will show results, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's all, that's what it's about. It's all about repetition and just getting really good at your craft. And I think through sports, it really taught me a lot of that hard work and grit that you really need in this industry.
And teamwork, I'm sure, as well. I mean, like, how much did, you know, that team atmosphere of playing sports translate to the kitchen?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly tell people I really love that aspect of the kitchen more than cooking sometimes.
Really? You know,
and like just that camaraderie of like brotherhood and that family atmosphere of being in a kitchen. I mean, because you really, everybody's equally important. And that's what team sports is about. And that's what kitchen is about. And that's understanding, even though that you're just making salads, you got to understand that is just as important as somebody who's, you know, searing the duck down the line from you. Just because you're doing something that's small doesn't mean it's not important, you know? And I think that really embedded in me playing sports, playing team sports, and like being in a kitchen. It's like, just because you're cutting those chives, like, don't be down on yourself. Like, cut it with some intensity and cut it with love so you get to the next level. I mean, if you suck at something, that's not cool, like, you're never going to get to the next step, you know? And that's what you got to understand. You got to make sacrifices, and you got to, you know, put in the time to get good at what you do. And it really translates well with being in a kitchen and playing sports. And I think that's why you see a lot of the chefs who do very well in the industry come from a lot of, you know, being an athlete back mm-hmm. in the days at a high level.
No, absolutely. You also mentioned just like how much you moved around and spending a lot of time in Korea as a kid. As your culinary journey kind of evolved over the years, how much do you kind of look back at those experiences as a kid and kind of draw from them within your culinary point of view now?
I think it's played a huge role in my culinary career, because I think being a chef is also being what you've seen, you know, throughout your life and career, and what you've tasted and what you've experienced. And for me to move around a lot, not just Korea, but like living in the East Coast, Midwest, West Coast, and Vegas, and living in Korea and different parts of Korea during the time I was there, I think I really got to experience a lot in food and culture. And when you see things that other people haven't experienced, you have a lot more repertoire in your book as a chef, because you just got to experience more than people who, because a lot of people, if I talk to them, they don't really move around a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, where you born, that's where you're raised, and that's kind of like where you grow up. And I literally moved, I believe, like 9 times in between wow. first grade and like senior in high school. And it's not just moved a couple of times. I've literally been moving throughout my whole life. And it was very interesting to me where even when you're within the United States, if you're in the East Coast, Midwest, West Coast, when you're driving through these towns and you go to these gas stations, and every gas station in different part of this country has something unique or, you know, different about them, you know, and some gas stations sell sausages, and you walk in some others and they got tamales, and some places you got taquitos and corn dogs uh-huh. and like, and different parts of the country, just so different and unique. And that was always very interesting to me. Everywhere you go, the smell is different. The food is different. People are different. Everything about it is just so different. And that was always a really fun experience for me to see a lot of different things.
Well, you've now settled somewhat, I guess, in Edmond, Oklahoma. You have your own restaurant there now, Birdie's. What inspired your choice to relocate to Edmond and establish Birdie's Fried Chicken?
You know, after being in Vegas and working there for 6 years, I really enjoyed that Vegas life to the fullest. And I'm told it's time for me to move on from this phase of my life so I can kind of get myself gathered together. So I called my cousin, who's around my age at the time, and he was like, just move out to the Oklahoma City. It's a growing city, even though it's small now. You know, it's going to be a lot of exciting things will be happening, and there will be a lot of opportunities. And he was right. I moved here in 2010, and it's been really fun to see the city grow. And I think every time when a city grows, I believe the culinary scene kind of grows with it. And I think it goes hand to hand. And as a chef here in Oklahoma City, I think it's really fun to see myself and the city kind of grow together. And it's been really fun kind of like settling in. And people in Oklahoma are awesome. You know, I live in a lot of different cities, but like this Southern hospitality in Oklahoma, it's just embedded in the people here. And when people come to Oklahoma, people are like, wow, I just can't believe how nice the people are. But they're also very impressed by the city because, you know, Oklahoma, they just has this image of like, you're in the country, like the country, you know, but we have an NBA basketball team now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the city has grown a lot and it's just been really fun to see a lot of the chefs in the city getting a lot of national accolades. And they're starting to really get some shining light on their restaurants here in the city also.
Why fried chicken? Why was that the concept that you decided to go with initially?
I love fried chicken.
Me too.
Everybody loves fried chicken. And honestly, the biggest reason, honestly, was I was really burnt out as a chef at the time. Mm. You know, I was running a huge concepts here in the city, you know, being a father of two, being a husband, you know, for me to make enough money, I had to just go have these jobs where I'm operating huge operations, you know, and when you're in a restaurant setting, when you're doing 600, 700, 800 covers a day,
wow,
you know, you don't really feel like a chef anymore, you know? So I was really burnt out and I wanted to have a concept where I could maybe be a little bit less hands-on and spend more, you know, time with my family. And boy, was I wrong, you know, and running a fast casual restaurant is just as challenging as running a, you know, full on chef driven restaurant. And I realized I wasn't good at what I was doing, you know, even though it was still like cooking and, you know, but I was trying to be a restaurateur more than a chef. And it just wasn't something I was good at. You know, I was trying to be somebody who I wasn't just because I thought that life was easier. And I just, you know, before I went to TOC, I've had several conversations with my wife. I was like, I think I need to change this concept. Mm. First of all, it's not working. I'm not happy. You know, I think that was the biggest thing, is just not being happy because I was doing something I just wasn't comfortable doing. You know, I didn't have the confidence. I lost my swagger. Mm. You know, I was just going into work miserable, like just kind of double guessing myself. Am I doing a good job? Am I not doing a good job? And I just wasn't, you know, really doing what I loved. Being a chef is what got me to this point in my career. And all of a sudden I was doing completely different and I just wasn't happy. So, you know, after the TOC, it really gave me the confidence to really, hey, let's be you again. It just gave me the confidence that, all right, I am a good chef. I have proven myself now. Let's just go, you know, do what you do again. And it's been an unbelievable transition and experience. And, you know, I've been very thankful and grateful that I made that transition and just be happy again.
Yeah. So now you have Birdies by Chef Kevin Lee. So give us an idea of what this new concept entails.
You know, so the new concept is a modern Korean steakhouse. Being in Oklahoma, you know, we're in the stockyard city here. People love steaks, you know, and a fun marriage of my interpretation of Korean cuisine marrying with perfectly cooked steaks thing was something that I thought it would work well. And it's been, you know, received very well so far. And we've just been having a great time.
I mean, looking ahead, what are you most excited about in terms of, you know, adding more things to the menu, offering, you know, seasonal dishes or things like that? What are the long-term plans for this concept?
You know, right now we're keeping our menu very basic. We do have a lot of like small plate, large plates that consists of like, you know, sweet potato burrata dish that is inspired by this sweet potato matang dish in Korean. And also we have these like tteokbokki dish, which is typically like a fish cake with rice cakes and spicy, like kind of like a pasta looking sauce. But, you know, I made like a kind of like a beef bolognese version out of it where there's really no tomatoes in it. But because of all the vegetables and everything you cook with slow, it kind of tastes taste all that sweetness from the vegetables. So it kind of makes you think like it's like a pasta dish, you know. And we kept it pretty simple for now. But, you know, I really want to, you know, have a seasonal chef special list of, you know, that changes seasonally, where we're utilizing fresh seafood and, you know, have oysters with, you know, the braised pork belly. I want to really kind of start slowly introducing more like traditional dishes that I want to showcase at my restaurant to really share my culture with people here in Oklahoma.
What's been the feedback so far?
I think feedback's been great. You know, people love steak. I think, you know, that was something I knew, but I was very surprised by the older clientele that come in and enjoy like the kimchi pancake and like some of the non-traditional dishes that people aren't familiar with. But the interesting thing about my kimchi pancake is I serve it with ranch.
Oh, when in doubt.
You know, when in doubt, just serve it with ranch, you know.
But especially in the Midwest.
Especially in the Midwest. But it's just something that makes sense to me because, you know, in Korean culture, you usually serve the kimchi pancake with soy sauce. But you're literally dipping something salty into salty again, you know. So I reached out to my buddy, Danny Bowen, who's a good friend of mine, who is from Oklahoma. And, you know, he's Korean, but he grew up in Oklahoma. He's an American adopted Korean, and he kind of views Korean food a little bit differently than I do. So I was like, Danny, what should I serve this kimchi pancake with, man? So I do not want to serve it with soy sauce. He's like, he didn't even think twice about it. He said, ranch. Instantly, I was like, you know what? That is perfect. So, I mean, since that day, I mean, I put that ranch with our kimchi pancakes and, you know, and you can actually add caviar to it if you want. And
okay, it's
been a huge hit, and people have been really been received well. And it's been really fun to really share my culture.
That's so exciting. And I'm sure you've learned so much in the last 20 years throughout this entire journey. Is there any advice that you would give to your younger self or maybe to aspiring chefs out there listening who are just getting started on their journey?
One thing I wish I would have done more is travel more throughout my professional career. I've seen a lot when I was younger, but I just never really took the time to travel more and see more of like the professional cooking side of the things when I'm traveling. But, you know, I tell everybody who's starting out to cook, like, be patient. Like, this isn't going to happen overnight. You're not going to be a Food Network star in 5 years, or, you know, you're not going to be a, like, this, whatever you think you're going to be as a chef, it's not going to happen in the next 5 years. You know, I think that's why a lot of the younger generation of kids, they try to be a chef. And when they realize they have to peel, you know, potatoes and chop garlic for the next 2 years, they're like, well, this sucks. I don't want to do it anymore. And they kind of move on. And I think that's one thing I tell everybody about this industry is like, it takes time. You got to be patient and you got to just keep on going. You know, eventually you're going to get good at what you do. And that is the goal. And I think the faster you get there, the easier this life becomes. But, you know, I think really working hard and just never giving up and just be consistent in what you do every day is the most important thing being a chef.
Well, I think your career is a testament to all of that, both on TV and off the screen as well. And we're so excited see that story continue. We're going to finish things off with a few rapid fire questions. And then we have one final question for you that we ask everybody here on the pod.
All right.
Rapid fire questions. Secret to fried chicken.
Secret to fried chicken is the water batter that we do in Korean fried chicken. That's really very unique and different. That makes it extra crispy.
All right. Favorite sushi roll?
Favorite sushi roll. Oh, man. People are going to hate me for this, but honestly, when I first had Philadelphia roll, I thought it was amazing. The cream cheese, asparagus, and the salmon. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, in the world of Japanese cuisine, when you put cream cheese in the food, that it would taste good with raw fish and rice. I mean, that is an invention that somebody needs to get an award for. That probably isn't the most popular comment from a chef, but I think it's a great invention, honestly.
I love it. Chef you'd most like to go head-to-head against?
I would have to say Brooke Williamson. I mean, she's the only one I've gone twice against, you know. I think Brooke is the one that I would want to go against again if I had the opportunity.
Wow. All right. Favorite small plate at Birdie's?
favorite small plate at Birdie's, the sweet potato burrata. You know, it's something that's very different and unique. Sweet potato pizza is something that's very big in Korea. So it just makes sense to make like a sweet potato puree, burrata, candy sweet potatoes, sweet potato chips, like a little pomegranate served with like a sourdough. That is unbelievable.
Love that. Next Food Network competition show on your bucket list.
I did Triple Threat.
I mean, you've done like all of them.
I don't know. What else is out there? Honestly, I love
Chopped,
all
I
the
guess.
Honestly, I haven't done Chopped. You know, Chopped is the one competition show I haven't done. I don't know. I don't really make desserts. So it really makes me nervous if I go to Chopped. But, you know, I don't ever turn down a challenge. So, you know, Chopped may be the next one.
All right. Favorite Oklahoma City spot that's not your own?
Favorite Oklahoma City spot. You know, we have this great Laotian restaurant here in Oklahoma that who would have thought, right? It's a Chains Beer nominated chef, wow. Jeff Chanchaloon, and he has this great Laotian restaurant in this Plaza District here in Oklahoma City, and it's unbelievable.
All right. Most used kitchen tool.
Most used kitchen tool. You know, I love my Vitamix. You know, I use my Vitamix for a lot of different things. And if I didn't have it, it would make me a little nervous. So I would say Vitamix.
All right. You know that that's going to be like on the randomizer at some point. No Vitamix.
No Vitamix. Well, I had to figure it out. You know, that's what TLC is. So
exactly. All right. Our final question is the same question we ask everybody here at the end of our conversations. And that is, what would be on the menu for your perfect food day? So take us through breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. You can travel, time travel, spend, you know, as much money as you want. Anybody can cook these meals. It's your day. I want to hear where you're going.
Well, that's fun. All right. If I could ever do this, I mean, that would be unbelievable. First, I would go to France for breakfast. I'll love myself some French omelet with truffles and just a nice simple toast. I mean, that's what I love eggs. And the French omelet is something that you just can't be beat.
Yeah.
And that is my favorite breakfast in the world. Then I think I would go to Japan and have an omakase sushi lunch, maybe. And that's the reason I really went into a Japanese restaurant to get a job, is so I can get my employee discount and get some sushi. You know?
So it was selfishly motivated.
Selfishly motivated. And when I found out when I was a sushi chef, I could eat all the sushi I want. It was even better. You know,
perfect. So.
Then for my final meal for dinner, I would go to Korea. And when you go to Korean, like a seafood restaurant, I don't know if you've ever been, but you can pick your fish and they'll fillet it. Then it comes with like 50 different little side dishes that you didn't even order. And there's like rice, like there's like abalone rice porridge, and there's like these live little baby octopus. There's, you know, like sea cucumbers. There's like, there's clams, there's oysters. There's all, they have a, just a spread of anything that you can possibly think of that comes out of ocean. And it is my favorite meal in the world. When I go to Korea, that's the first thing I eat. It's the best. And just something I've always enjoyed eating. Then for dessert, I don't know if you ever have this like shaved ice dessert in Korean called bingsu. It's usually they take like milk and they sweeten the milk and they'll freeze it and they'll shave it like a snow cone, right?
Oh, cool.
And they'll like put like some like sweetened red bean on top with like soybean powder and these little small little delicate rice cakes, and it's the best dessert in the world. And that will be my breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert. That if I could ever do it.
Just a supersonic jet, you know, taking you around the world for the day. I love it. I loved hearing more about your story, and we are looking forward to seeing your competition and journey continue on TOC. Best of luck.
Thank you for having me today.
You can watch Tournament of Champions Sundays at 8 p.m. on Food Network. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Mom
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.